just bow our heads in a word of prayer and go to the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are thankful, Lord, for this morning that we can come and be here, Father, and to worship, Father, in your spirit, Father, and to come and to hear your truth, Lord. I pray, Father, that your blessings on everyone that's here, Father, this morning, Lord, that you will bless us with your presence and your word, dear God, and the anointing, Father, power. We ask, God, for those that were not able to be here with us this morning, Father, you know their needs. I ask, God, that you would minister to that, Father, and those that would hear this service after it's posted, Lord, online, that, Father, you would be a blessing to them and strengthen them as well as those that are present here at this time. We ask you in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to continue with preaching on faith where we had left off the last time I spoke here. Hebrews chapter 11. And now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testified of his gifts, and by it him being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a city. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more say? For the time shall fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Japheth and of David also and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness was made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You may be seated. Now, the scriptures we read, it says, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Brother Branham said, what is faith? He says, faith is something that's revealed to you. That is not yet, but you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. And Brother Branham said, by revelation, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Abel, it was revealed to Abel. Brother Branham said that Cain believed that it was fruit that had brought about the fall. Cain believed, Brother Branham said, they ate apples. He says, like a lot of people today believe. He says, but it was revealed to, and another place Brother Branham says actually that it's Adam and Eve's fault that they believe that, because that's what Adam and Eve told them. Like many parents, there's subjects they don't want to talk about with their children. And so they did not talk about what really happened to their children. But they told them, well, we ate of the fruit of the tree, you know, and then didn't bother to explain it. And so that's what Cain believed. But it was revealed to Abel what had happened. It was revealed to Abel that a lamb was slain and that its skin was given to Adam and Eve to clothe them. So it was revealed to Abel that there was a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. And then it was then revealed to Abel that it was going to take a blood sacrifice in order for man to be able to go back and partake of the tree of life again. Because man was drove from the garden. And, you know, when Cain and Abel were born, they weren't born in the garden. Man had already been driven from the garden. They were already forbidden to go there. They were already forbidden to go back and eat of the tree of life.
And remember that the Bible says that he put cherubims there to guard or keep the way to the tree of life. So God preserved a way to the tree of life, but it was revealed there was going to have to be a blood sacrifice in order for man to be able to come back to the tree of life. And it was a spiritual revelation. So Brother Branham says again, in works is faith expressed. He says, now faith is a revelation from God. Now faith is a revelation. God reveals it to you by his grace. It's nothing you did. You didn't work yourself up into faith. You know, a lot of people try to work themselves up into faith by their mental thinking, positive thinking. Faith is not just positive thinking. You know, it is actually, you know, look, Jesus died for your salvation. And then you are saved because you accept that Jesus died for your salvation. You accept it because you believe it. That's faith. We read in this day and age, we read that Jesus died for our sins. We weren't there to physically witness it with our eyes. We did not see it happen. There are many who claim that there never was a man called Jesus. There are those that claim that he didn't come and die. And others that claim, well, he was just merely a man, that it wasn't God dying. And so, you know, they don't believe in salvation through Jesus Christ. There's many religions out there that they believe in their own gods or their own prophets and don't believe in salvation through Jesus Christ. But we believe it. And we are saved because we believe it. We're not saved because we came to the altar and cried. We're not saved because we begged God to save us. When he died for your salvation. He can't do anything more to save you than what he's already done. He already saved you. What you've got to do is believe it. He died for your healing. God couldn't no more heal you today than nothing because he already healed you. In other words, what I'm saying is he doesn't have to do anything to heal you. He's already done it. What we've got to do is receive it by faith. We've got to believe that he died for our healing and then just receive it. And when you do that, then you can have it right then at that very time that you accept it, you can have your healing. It's not something that you got to say, well, I've got to live good for a while. I've got to say this over and over again that I'm healed. That's not it. You accept it on a basis of faith and because it's revealed to you. Now, I'm not talking about something that you want. And so you work out a way that you can, say, well, this was a sign, and that was a sign, and this over here is a sign. No, that's not what faith is. Faith is, and that's not what revelation is. God's actually revealed it to you. And I'm talking about something necessarily that you can see. It's something that drops in your heart. And then you accept it. Abraham, friends, look, according to appearances, he was going further in body and health. He was going further and further away from the possibility of the promise coming to pass. The Bible says they were past the age of having children. So they were going further and further away from the physical or the appearance of the possibility of the promise being able to be fulfilled. But Abraham didn't look at those things. What he was looking at was something you couldn't see with these eyes. It was something that was revealed to in his heart, that God had told him that he was going to be a father of many nations, and that he was going to have a son, and he showed him that son was going to be by Sarah. All of these ones that we read, we call this the God's Hall of Fame, the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And all these are heroes of faith, we call them. And, you know, all of these things, it testified that they looked to the unseen. Just like the very first verse says, that that faith is the substance of things hoped, the evidence of things not seen. A lot of people look to they try to look to other things for an evidence. For an evidence of the Holy Spirit. They want something physical. They want something emotional. And there's a lot, even in this day, that say they believe the message, and yet they still preach and look to physical and emotional things as their absolute for whether they've got the Holy Ghost or not. Friends, look, you receive that by faith. God's word says that if you do his word, if you repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, you shall receive the Holy Ghost, that it is a gift of God. It's not something that you've got to do something else to receive. It is a gift of God. Then you receive it by faith. You know, we know that there's many in the denominations, they look at other outward signs. It's whether they've got the Holy Ghost or not. They want speaking in tongues and these things. And you look at the signs that they look at, you know, and the signs that some of those even that claim to believe this message look at. They're signs that can be impersonated. Friends, look. Anybody can shout, dance, and speak in tongues. That's not an evidence that they got the Holy Ghost. Remember, Brother Branham, when he was a young minister, and these things, God was revealing these things to him, and remember when he first went out and he visited that Pentecostal group. Remember that? When he was... he was there in his trousers and his T-shirt, you know, and they called him up to preach. Remember that? The whole testimony, the black man saying, "Here he is," you know. And so Brother Branham shook hands with some men from that meeting. And one of the men was a man that spoke in tongues. And there was another one that brought the interpretation. And Brother Branham shook hands with him, and he said the one man he shook hands with said he was genuine. But the other man that this gift displayed through, he shook hands with him and realized this man was an adulterer. So these things can, you know, the Bible first says gifts and callings are without repentance. But these things can be impersonated. You know, just because a person speaks in tongues, you know, and then, you know, somebody said, "Well, then that's the evidence you got the Holy Ghost." And then and the next thing you know, they've left the church and went out and they're living a life in the world. Then what happened? I asked someone that one time that believed tongues being the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost, and I asked him about that, but concerning an individual that we both knew. And they had actually brought this individual up in conversation, and they were talking about things that he was doing. And I said, well, he never had the Holy Ghost. And so this person said, no, he lost the Holy Ghost. See, because he had spoken tongues, they believed he had it. And I said, no. I said, but what about the scripture? You're sealed into the day of redemption by the Holy Ghost. I said, if you really are sealed by the Holy Ghost, you can't lose it.
Amen.
There's people that believe, you know, there's people who believe that if, you know, you commit a mistake in the flesh. And now, when I say that, I'm not talking about going out and committing adultery and all these different things like that. I'm talking about, you know, you get upset over something. Maybe lose your cool a little bit or something, or say the wrong thing. And again, I'm not talking about going around and using filthy language, cussing and swearing. If you're cussing and swearing, you need to have an experience with God. But, you know, this person... Well, they lost the Holy Ghost. No, if you really got it, you can't lose it. Yes, you're still in this sticky flesh, as Brother Bo made mention of last Sunday. We're still in this sticky flesh. And we're going to be in this sticky flesh until we leave out of here. But don't use that as an excuse for misbehaving either. You know, we are supposed to bring ourselves, this sticky flesh, under subjection to the Spirit of God that's in us. You know, we can't just act out any old way and then just say, well, you know, I'm in the flesh. No, you need to bring this flesh into subjection. That, you know, friends, look, you see the word that's preached here in this church, service after service, and the teachings it's brought, what is it about? It's about you yielding more to the Spirit of God that's in you and coming to the being a perfect man. Now, your flesh isn't going to be perfect. But as Paul says, we crucify it daily. We die out to the flesh. Well, what does that mean, dying out to the flesh? It means not saying everything that runs through your head sometimes. You know, your flesh... has feelings, and people can hurt your feelings, and people can do things to upset you. We've got to bring that under subjection. And look, we're all human. We slip from time to time, but that doesn't mean that you've lost the Holy Ghost if you have it. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is not these outward signs and emotions. You receive the Holy Ghost by faith and believe that you have it. And then the Spirit of God that's in you works from the inside out, changing your life. Changing who you are. Brother Adam says, when a person's saved, he said, you accept it, you believe it. And then... somebody says, let's see if you look any different. Why, you're still got brown eyes. You're still the same as you was. He said, you can't show nothing that you're saved. Only you're testifying of the unseen. Your faith says you're saved. You believe you're saved. Then you say you're saved. Then you act like you're saved. Then you associate with those that are saved. And it works righteousness. Isn't that right? After a while, everybody knows that you're saved. Isn't that right? Now, that doesn't mean that you can't say, well, I've got some worldly friends. You know, the thing is, are you going to go hang out with them in their worldly places? No. What fellowship does light have with darkness? You know, people talk about whether they've got things in common with one another or other people. One thing we should all here in this building have in common with one another is we serve God. We love the Lord. So I don't know what to talk about. Talk about the Lord. Testify of what we can't see. Brother Ram says, symptoms, they're lying vanities. Don't receive them. Don't have nothing to do with them. If you look at them, you're looking away from God. We look at the unseen, not at what we see. No one can look at what they see and be a Christian. You've got to believe the things that's unseen. For it's by faith you are healed, not by sight or by feeling. Now, in Hebrews 12, right after it finishes, Paul finishes writing about all these heroes of faith. Then he starts up the 12th chapter by saying, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And he's talking about all of these that he's mentioned in the 11th chapter, this cloud of witnesses of faith. He said, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, the Bible tells us that faith, if it hath not works, is dead. A person can say, I've got faith, but if they don't ever act on that, it shows they don't really have faith. Brother Ram says a lot of people are afraid to put their faith to work. They're afraid to put their faith to action. You've got to put action with your faith. If you're going to say you believe something, then you've got to walk on that. You know, I look at all of us over thinking about this great cloud of witnesses, and I think about all of us here in this church. And those of you that I've known for years, I know a lot about your lives. I know a lot about your testimonies and experiences and things we've been through and saw each other go through over the 25 years that I've been here. And, you know, there are, when God reveals things to you, then you've got to step forward into that. You can't just wait around and say, okay, well, he's revealed it to me. I'll just wait for it to happen. No, you've got to act on that. When God told Abraham to leave out of the country where he was, and the Bible says he went not knowing where he was going, Abraham had to just go forward. God didn't say, go from point A to point B. He didn't tell him what point B was. But God did reveal to him that there was a city whose builder and maker was God. And so it was not a city that could be found on this earth. And so Abraham journeyed. And God, you know, God gave him a promise. He said, your children, they're going to go into captivity for 400 years, but then I'll bring them out by a mighty hand. Now, When Joseph was dying, Israel was there because, remember, they had come to the land of Egypt because of the famine that was in the land. So God brought them there to sustain them. And it was all because of how God had raised up Joseph in Egypt. So when Joseph was dying, they weren't in captivity. They were just living there to be fed. But Joseph, the Bible tells us, saw that they were going to be leaving out of there. It was revealed to Joseph, they're going to be leaving out of here. And so Joseph says, when you leave here, take my bones with you. Remember, it was revealed to Abraham. Remember when Abraham bought the cave that was in the field of Machpelah? It was revealed to Abraham that the same revelation that Job had got of the resurrection. And so Abraham went, and why he wanted to buy this cave and this field and that is because that's where Job was buried. And so he got the same revelation of the resurrection that Job had. So he says, if Job's going to be resurrected, I want to be there. I'm going to be resurrected too. And then the Bible tells us, if you remember, when Abraham died, he was buried there. And he had buried Sarah there. That's why he purchased it, to bury Sarah there. Then when he was dying, Isaac buried him there. Then when Isaac died, they buried Isaac there. And so on. And remember, while they were yet in Egypt, Jacob died. And so they made a journey and took Jacob's bones over there and buried them in the same place where Abraham had been buried. So then Joseph said, when you leave here, do the same thing with my bones. Don't leave them here. Now, you realize that Joseph had risen to such a high estate in Egypt. Friends, he would have been buried like royalty in Egypt. Monuments and things. But he said, I don't want any of that. Just go bury me over there in that simple cave. I want to be buried in the land of resurrection. And it was not something they could see. That's what when you read through the chapter of 11, you find it focuses on that they did things not because of what they could see. Amen. Revelation isn't something that you necessarily can see with these eyes. You know, it talks about Jericho. Friends, look, God did not tell, he told Joshua what to do. March around the city 7 days, and on the seventh day, march around seven times, and then let everybody yell. And he said, the walls are going to come down. He didn't tell him how the walls were going to come down. He didn't say what was going to happen to bring the walls down. You know, they didn't have any battering rams or any cannons or anything, you know, explosives or anything like that. They obeyed God's word and were looking to what they couldn't see. Look, God is invisible. It said Moses looked to him who is invisible. We look to things and believe on things we can't see. God doesn't tell us. When God reveals to you that he's going to do something, he doesn't always tell you how he's going to accomplish it. He doesn't always show you every step and circumstance and situation that you are going to face and go through in order to bring that to pass. You know, we want to believe God for the salvation of our lost loved ones. Then what you've got to do is you've got to, don't look and see, well, what are they doing? You've got to just believe God for it. And then commit it to God. And you've got to accept the will of God. A lot of people, I don't think they're willing to accept the will of God. Look, we don't know who's seed and who's not. But if somebody's not seed, you can't make them seed. Now, the beauty of that is, if you're seed, nobody can take that away from you. The devil can't take it away from you. People who criticize you and belittle you and everything, they can't change that. They can't take away from you that you are the seed of God. You are born that way. And so therefore, you can't make somebody a seed of God. Look, Isaac loved Esau. Esau was his son. I actually, according to what you read, he was actually his favorite son. I know we're not supposed to have favorites in our children. But you can see it. It was evidently he favored Esau. Think about it. Jacob was the godly one. He might not have looked like the godly one, but he was the seed of God. And Esau was serpent seed. And a seed of God, Isaac, a father, favored his son who was serpent seed. Why did he do that? Because he was looking at the outward. So if you've got loved ones that need saved, friends, look, if they're seed of God, God's going to bring them. I've quoted this over and over again where Brother Bram was asked a question by a man that about his wife and his son, and he said, you know, what should he do? And Brother Bram says, you know, you pray for them and commit them to God. If they're seed, they'll come. He says, if they're not seed, they're not worth you worrying about. Man, that's a strong statement. But Brother Branham goes on to finish up by saying, because that's just Satan trying to tear down your physical health. Do you realize Satan attacks you in your mind? Do you realize your mind can affect your physical health? And so you've got to then just commit it to God. You can't go around worrying about it. If you've committed something to God, you're not worrying about it. If you're worrying about it, you ain't committed it to Him. If you're worrying about your living, if you're worrying about your job, if you're worrying about anything, you haven't committed it to God. And in order to commit it to God, you've got to trust Him. And how would you trust Him? Because you believe His word. He said He would take care of us and see to all of our needs. And so then we've got to accept that and not look at how things currently are in your situation. People want to say, well, I'm doing really good financially. I'm doing really good this way. And boy, you know, I'm blessed. Boy, I tell you what, I got faith. Faith is being able to walk when things even look bad around you. Even when it looks like the opposite of what you're believing for, you still believe for it and walk ahead. God doesn't always, He doesn't sit down and show you the entire plan of what's going to transpire in your life. You know, brother, let me use these as an example, and I'll give some examples of my own, too, and if any I can think of you, I'll bring them, too. But just here recently, within this year, Brother Wayne and Sister Cindy, you know, they felt in their hearts it was time for them to retire. And so, you know, that had to take a step of faith because they had to give up the occupation of what they were doing, the care, the daycare of the children and all that and things, and they had to step out and believe God was going to take care of them. Now, you know, somebody could tell them, well, you can apply for this and you can apply for that and you can apply for this. Exactly, apply. That doesn't mean that you're guaranteed. Somebody could say, well, it looks like from everything I can see, you'll be approved. But that doesn't mean you're approved. So they had to take steps of faith. And so they wanted to sell their house. And, you know, and they didn't want to pour a lot more money into it, into the house to bring it to some standard that maybe some buyers or realtors or whatever would have set in that. They wanted to sell it as is. So they had to believe that God was going to send them a buyer for that house. Now, they went through trials with it. There were times where it looked like it was going to sell, and then it didn't. You know, I don't know how much they got out of it, but perhaps they may not have got what initially, maybe the realtor had told them, you could probably get this. And you know, and of course, you know, you're dependent on what, you know, the appraisals are going to be and what people are going to offer you and all this, you know. So they had no, they had nothing that they could look at to take this step. It was all maybes and possibles and all this. It was all anybody could really offer them. I believe so, you know. But they didn't step forward on that. They stepped forward believing that God was going to do it. God didn't tell him how he was going to do it. He didn't give him the date that he was going to do it. You know, they gave up the daycare back in the spring, I believe it was, and then they went from the spring all the way to, they just recently, and I think this week is when actually it's being closed. See, they've sold their house, and that sale is going to be closed this week. So they went all that time where they had gave up that income that they were depending on in helping them. And they had to do other things in the meantime to try to sustain themselves. And you know, Brother Wayne didn't have a job like maybe some of you have to where you say, well, you know you're punching in on Monday morning. So he had to depend on God to provide him, and he didn't know from one week to the next maybe, you know, where he was going to be working some odd job at. And their house sold, and they had no place. So while they were believing God to help them sell their house, they had to be believing God that he was going to help them buy a house. And they wanted to buy a house, and forgive me, I don't mean to be getting in y'all's business and laying it out before the people, but it's just a wonderful testimony. But they wanted to buy the house without getting a loan. And so, you know, then they had to trust God to find the place. And, you know, and I was very sad this week when one place they had looked at was out close to me, didn't go through. But, you know, God had to have a place for them somewhere. And you know, the thing is, don't get desperate. Just trust God. It's going to work out. Now, they're in the process of purchasing the place. They've got it all in the works and that. But there's some work going to be done on it. So in the meantime, they're going to, from my understanding, they're going to live in an apartment for a little bit until they get the place ready to move into. But, you know, they had to take these steps by faith. I've given you my testimony many times of coming down here, but I just felt in my heart today to go over it. Friends, look, before I came here, I was working a full-time job. And before I even knew about Dixon, God had revealed to me he wanted me to go full-time in the ministry. Now, going full-time in the ministry, I didn't have a church. I had just been the associate pastor up there in Ohio. So I didn't have a church. I did not have a regular income. And to go full-time on the field, for those of you who don't know what that's like, you don't know what you're getting from week to week. You don't even know if you're going to have, you're not going to get anything if you don't have a service. If you're not preaching somewhere, there's, you know, unless somebody just out of their heart feels led of God to send you an offering, you know, chances are you're not getting an offering, something to live on for that coming week unless you're preaching somewhere. And you don't always know, you know, that you're always going to be preaching somewhere. Now, I know, you know, I was just starting out, and I know there's brothers that have been on the field for years and that, and to try to get them to come preach for you, you got to book it way ahead because they've just got meetings lined up and everything. I never had that. I was going full-time on the field, and, you know, I'll tell you, I did not have services every weekend starting out. But I believed that's what I was supposed to be doing. I want you to digest this because what I want you to see is, you know, think about if you left the employment that you have right now and had to depend on an offering that you would get if you went somewhere. You know, it's different from having a job that you know from week to week and month to month what you're going to be getting. You know, people who get, you know, and I was one of those, you get a pay stub, I guess I call it. And so you know what you're getting, you're going to get. You know, unless you get a raise or something like that, it doesn't change. You know, when you start on Monday, if you're getting paid on Friday, you know, unless you're working overtime, you know what you're going to at least get this amount. Right. The step I took, I didn't know. I left knowing to go on something I couldn't see. Brother Danny Steeman, you know, he and I were speaking some meetings together up in Michigan. And this was back earlier in the year of 1998. And so he invited me, said, you know, he wasn't the pastor. His dad was the pastor of the church in Sarasota back then. But he invited me, wanted me to come down and visit them at the church there in Sarasota and preach down there for them. So he gave me the invitation. So what I did was I called up and I looked at my, you know, my path going down there on my journey in that. So I called up some brothers here and there along that way to ask them about coming by to preach for them. And I had, you know, and I didn't, when I started out on this trip and I was leaving, and I figured I was gonna be gone for a month total from home. And when I was leaving, I didn't have all the services for every weekend all scheduled out. But I was making this journey down to Florida with a lot of empty space in between. And I had a service. I ended up with two services in North Carolina. When I left, I had one service in North Carolina. I had another service while I was down there. And then I didn't have any more services. There was a cat meeting going on down in St. Augustine, Florida. And so I traveled down there and went to that cat meeting. And while I was there, a minister that was speaking, who I'd preached at his church, he got up and introduced me to the people and told the pastors and attendant there, you need to schedule some services with this brother. And so I did get some services from that. But I had an invitation down in close to Sarasota. I left there. I went down to Sarasota. I did get some invitations that I couldn't make, that I couldn't get to. And so then along the way, while I was even down in Sarasota, I was making other calls to other brothers along the way back up to try to set up services for the upcoming week and weekends and things like that. And so I did get some services in that. And then I got up into the northern part of Georgia, and I had a service that I was supposed to preach for Brother Thomas Byler. He was going to be out of town. I'd never met him before. I got his number from Brother Danny Steeman, and Brother Danny Steeman recommended me to him. And so he was going to be out of town, didn't have somebody to speak, and so he agreed, yeah, that I could come and preach for him that weekend. So I didn't have anything leading up to that. So I thought, well, I've got some time. So there was a family I knew over in West Tennessee that I hadn't seen in quite a while, and so I thought, well, I'll call them up, just go by and visit them. So I went by to visit them and then went to the church where they were visiting, which happened to be Brother Bo's church. And I went up there, and then I preached there on a Saturday night, and then stayed overnight at Brother Tim Choate's house that night, and then left and went up to Brother Byler's and preached on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And after the Sunday night service, I met Brother Phil. And I had a little business card, and Brother Phil asked my number. I gave him my business card, you know, and you know, you're looking at what to put on the card when you're going to write that, and maybe I should just wrote my name, my number, and been done with it, you know. But I put something on there about evangelizing and that, and so, you know, because you can't put, I'm the pastor of your church. I'm the future pastor. You can't put that on there. But it had already been revealed to me, God had already revealed to me that, because I was seeking the Lord for, What did the Lord want me to do in the ministry? And so the Lord had revealed to me that by a dream that I was going to pastor a church. But he didn't tell me where the church was. God showed me in a dream many things and took me to scriptures and things and told me about the assembly and things by the scriptures. I didn't know where this church was. And so, but I didn't, neither was I actively looking for a church. I just said, well, Lord, if that's your will, then I'm going to stay full-time in the ministry, and when it's your will to place me as a pastor, that door will open. There was a door that seemed to be open back during that time, and then some things that of the situation that was presented to me, I said, no, that's not scriptural. That can't be the will of God. And there was actually an older minister that I had great confidence in that had heard about it and talked to me about it while I was visiting him, and actually he gave me some advice and from his wisdom that he didn't believe that would be the will of God. And so I took his advice, and I went on, and I waited, and then God revealed to me through conversations with the pastor of that church at that time, who was wanting to step down. He revealed to me through conversation that wasn't it, that wasn't the place. So I told the brother, nope, I can't come. He said, but the people's voted. I said, nope, I can't come. I said, that it's not the will of the Lord. And so then I made my journey up through here and that, you know. And Brother Phil, when I met him after that Sunday evening, he said something to me about, you know, maybe coming down and preaching here at this church. And, you know, I actually, while I was on that trip, I had heard different ones mention this church. And, you know, I drove right on by here going out to West Tennessee that year. And, you know, so I didn't know exactly where this church was located, but I heard in a couple different places. I had heard, and, you know, even the one brother, Brother Dan Daisies, who it was, that was giving me some advice in that, he mentioned this church. And I said, brother, I'm not looking for a church. You know, I was, you know, there are a lot of brothers that I have witnessed over the years that somehow they get it into their mind about a certain church. And then, you know, I've seen them say, well, God revealed to them they were going to be the pastor of that church. And you know, then you watch what they do and how they act and what and their behavior all about it, and you realize then that was their wishful thinking. God didn't reveal that to them. I can tell you this. I've seen brothers that say that God revealed to them they were going to pastor a certain church, and here they are, yeah, they're married, but they have no children. And that's one of the qualifications of being a pastor. So how is God going to reveal that to somebody when they don't even qualify scripturally? You understand what I'm saying? That's the thing I went by. You know, I went by, was it scriptural? You know, and it wasn't, but I knew that God was going to send me somewhere to pastor, but I didn't know where. I came back from that trip, and my wife was working there in Sandusky, Ohio, and she was at work when I got back, and so I went by my dad's house to visit him, and on my way in, and so the first thing my dad asked me when I come in, he says, hey, look, if a church asked you to come pastor him, would you do it? Well, to me, this is like, I hadn't seen him in 30 days. This is coming out of the blue. And I said, well, I'd have to pray about it and know it was God's will for me to go there. Yeah, of course you would. Of course you would. But that's not what I'm asking you. What I'm asking you is, if a church asked you to come pastor him, would you go pastor him? So I don't know another answer to give you. And so my dad says, well, God showed me that there is a church in Dixon, Tennessee, and they're going to ask you to come and be their pastor. Now, I ain't saw him in 30 days. He don't know where I've been, who I've talked to, or anything that anybody has said to me, or what I have any knowledge of. But he said God revealed that to him. Well, you know where I was standing? God had not revealed that to me. So I couldn't walk on his revelation. God was going to have to reveal it to me. And so I told him, I said, well, you know, I've got a phone number here of a brother who does some of the scheduling of the services there in Dixon and that. And I said, I might as well, I could just throw that number away. I said, because I'm not going to call him. You know, and, you know, look, friends, it wasn't that I had to leave or wanted to leave the church up there. So then, in the meantime, Brother Phil calls this brother that knew me and that I had preached for in his church and things like that. And the brother, out of the blue, suggests to Brother Phil, hey, I know a brother that you should call to come down there and you know, consider him as a pastor. And Brother Phil had my card. And on my card it said evangelist. And so Brother Phil said, yeah, but he's an evangelist. He said, oh, no, he's not. This brother said, oh, no, he's not. He's a pastor. This was an older brother in the Lord that had been around many years. He said, oh, no, he's not. He said, he's a pastor. And so, you know, then Brother Phil evidently felt led to call me. And so I get the call from Brother Phil and I was already planning a trip back down through this area and back down into Georgia because I had some invitations and then over into Arkansas and things. And so I had some invitations and brothers I knew and things like that. So I was already planning a trip, so I thought, okay, yeah, I'll just go to Dixon first. And so I came here to minister that Sunday. I didn't actually have any of the other services set up. I just had invitations. And so I came here to preach that Sunday. It was a Sunday morning, Sunday evening service that I preached, you know. And we went out to eat between the services and with some of the folks here, and they were asking me all kinds of questions. I felt like I was at a job interview. And so, you know, I came here to preach the service that evening there. And while I was in the study, which was over here by the door at that time, the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, this is the church. And I've told you many times, my first reaction to God, I actually said, Lord, no, please not this church. And the reason I said it, because, friends, I'm going to tell you something. It was depressing here. I did not have an easy time preaching. And I was sitting back there, and I thought, oh, Lord, no. And I even told her, I said, Lord, this is a depressing place. And then, you know, and then I just let it go at that. And I came out, and I preached that night. And then Brother Phil and Brother Jim, Sister Joyce, and I and my wife and my children, we went out over to Shoney's after service. And then we sat there and ate. We fellowshipped a little bit. And then Brother Jim and Sister Joyce left, and so it was just us and Brother Phil. And so we went out into the parking lot, and my wife and children got into the van, and me and Brother Phil stood out by his truck talking for a little bit, and Brother Phil began to talk to me about considering to come here and pastor this church. And I told him, I said, I can't do it. I said, you know, and here I was. God had done told me there in the back room, but I was walking on by that. I said, God hadn't showed me yet, so I got to know it's the will of God. I'd have to know it's the will of God. I can't just let you present my name to the people just like that. I said, I'm praying about it. And Brother Phil kind of chuckled a little bit, and he says, you know, that's so strange. He said, here I am offering to present your name before the people, to bring it up for a vote, to consider you for a pastor. He said, I've had, I believe it was 5 other preachers that have called me and told me God showed them, revealed to them, they were to be the pastor of this church. He said, and here you are saying no. And so, you know, while we were sitting there, Brother Jim was still there, and they said about coming back down to preach, you know. And so like I said, I was planning coming back down this way anyhow, so I said, yeah, I'll come back by. And so we set up some dates right then at the table for me to come back through here. And it was, I think I preached a Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night services. And so there were some visitors that came in for some of those services Saturday night. And that, and I think I don't know about Sunday, but anyway, while I was here, and then Brother Phil and I were talking. I was staying over at his house, and so we were talking, and Brother Phil talked to me again about coming to Pastor's Church. So then at that time, while sitting on his back porch, I shared with Brother Phil the dream that God had given me, and I shared with him the things that God has spoke to me, and how that after I was here the first time, I went back home after talking to Brother Phil, went back home, and I was praying. I was praying for David Horner, and because David had come and talked to me in the back room while I was here that Sunday. And so David was asking me, should he be baptized? He says, I'm a liar. He says, and I lie and sometimes even believe my own lies. He says, and you know, people tell me what I need to do is get baptized. And I said, that's not what you need to do. What you need to do is get saved. I said, you know, if you don't get saved, you'll go down a dry center and come up a wet one. There won't be no change. And so I told him I would pray for him. And so I was praying for him and praying for God to save his soul. And while I was praying for him, God spoke to me. And the Lord said, I give you that soul. And I'll tell you what, that word was tested while I was here. And so I just accepted that. And then I went to sleep that night. I was woke up from my sleep, and the Lord was giving me scriptures. And I read the scriptures in that, and then the Lord said, what I'm showing you is that church in Dixon. And so I shared these things with Brother Phil. And Brother Phil said, then I'll talk to the brothers of the church. And I said, wait until after the last service. I said, because I don't want that to be on anybody's mind while I'm preaching these things that the Lord has laid on my heart. I said, so wait until after Sunday night service. So Sunday night service, Brother Phil and the brothers, he had them go into the room, and I was standing outside, and he talked to them in the room and that, and they all agreed, yes, let's ask him, you know. And, you know, Brother Phil had mentioned back when I was here the first time how that our Brother John Andes had come here, I think it was on a six-month trial basis, and that. And so while I was at home before I came down here, my wife says, you know, when you go back down there, that they're going to ask you about pastoring that church. And I said, yeah, I know. And she says, we can't pick up our family and move out of here on a six-month trial basis. What happens at the end of that 6 months if they don't elect you in? Then what are we going to do? And I said, they're not going to ask me for 6 months. I said, they're going to ask me for 1 month. And I said, and you know I wouldn't even go for 1 month unless God told me to. And so that very day that I said that to her, we went down to have supper, and the phone rang, and it was Brother Phil. And Brother Phil was on the phone, and he said, hey, he says, Brother Jewel Forney was just through here, and we were talking about you. And he says, and Brother Jewel said that we were really going to miss out if we passed you up. And he said that we ought to ask you to come for a one-month trial basis. You see how the Lord does? The Lord spoke that through me, and then within a matter of minutes, Brother Phil, not knowing what the Lord had spoke to me and through me, he said the exact same thing. Amen. So, but friends, look, I didn't have a place to live when I was coming here. When I accepted the pastorship and said, yeah, go ahead and put me up for a vote, and I says, I'll be here for, I'll stay here for 30 days and act as your pastor, and at the end of the 30 days, you can take a vote. And that vote happened on November the 1st, 1998, and on a Sunday. And so I said, you know, when they were asking me, when they, you know, were asking about if I would go up to be a pastor here and that, I says, if the brothers agree 100%. So then Brother Phil told them that, and so they agreed 100%. And then after that, you know, Brother Jim kept asking me, when it comes time to vote you in, is it got to be 100%? And, you know, and I said, no, it just has to be the majority. And so, of course, there was 12 individuals that were able to vote during that time. And of the 11 votes came in yes, and one vote came in no. And the one vote that came in no, that person got up and made a show of leaving here. You know, and so then I had to set about trying to, I was just here then. I was the pastor. I was staying with Brother Phil. I didn't have a place I'd accepted to be the pastor, which means I was going to have to move my family here. And there wasn't enough money for me to provide for my family just on my own. But I had to take it by faith that God had sent me here. And so from then on, I started walking. I started believing. I acted like this is where I'm at. I gave works to my faith. I gave action to my faith. I went ahead and started pastoring the church. And so then, you know, I didn't know how God was going to move my family down here. I didn't know how we were going to be able to support ourselves. We didn't have a place to live. I went out and I tried to set up to buy places and things like that, and everything just kept falling through. But I just had to keep believing God. I don't know. God didn't tell me how long it was going to take. But I had to just keep going forward every week. And there was different weekends that I would fly Mina down here to be in the church and so that people could meet her and things like that. My family came down with me that Labor Day, and they never came back down here until I moved them here, my children. And so, time went on, I became more and more feeling stronger about moving my family down here. And then the Morans offered me, they had a trailer and offered me to come and to stay there with my family in that trailer. And it needed a lot of work. It was full of wasps when I went in there and full of holes and everything else. You know, I'm not trying to say bad, God bless the Morans. I'm not trying to say anything bad toward them. But it needed a lot of work. It did not look promising. But I was just accepting whatever God gave me. I wasn't expecting God to, you know, when I couldn't seem like buy a place, then I just accepted. Then I'm going to take whatever God gives me. And so it needed a lot of work. And so, in the meantime, David offered me to take my family, bring them down here, and to live with him. He probably regretted it. Almost immediately. But we stayed there with David for a short time. And so that's what I had, you know. And so back then, the church had one big long room there in the back. And so kind of wrapped around, you know, there wasn't a door down to the basement like there is now. The door was actually, that balcony and stuff wasn't even there. That's how you got down to the basement, walking across the sanctuary. And I brought my things, loaded them up in the truck, brought them down here and stored them back there in the back of the church. And, you know, and we were living out there. And, you know, my wife had a really good job. She had to leave her job. The type of, the way it works when you're working for the state, you can't transfer from state to state. You got to apply with the new state as a new applicant and go through the process all over again. And your seniority and everything doesn't follow you. Your retirement doesn't follow you. And so she had to leave her work. She had really good work. And she had to leave that and come down here to nothing. And we moved down right after Christmas. And then, we were praying about whether she would take a job or not. And so I said, well, you know, go apply with the state, and then we'll leave it in God's hands. And if God wants you to do that, then God will open the door there. If not, and if God can provide for us just through the church, then God will do that. And so then in March of 1999, the state offered her a position over there. And, you know, she's been with him ever since. And, you know, and we, and through the years, you know, just like cost of living expenses and everything else go up, you know, we bought a house and all that. Well, then it took more money than that, and God has provided. But I took all those steps without God. God never told me, you're going to have a house on Plunder's Creek Road there in Dixon, Tennessee. You're going to have this. I'm going to give your wife a job with the state. I'm going to increase the congregation. I'm going to do this. God never told me those things. I had to just walk on faith and believe God had sent me, and therefore God was going to take care of everything. That's faith. That's walking on faith. You know, and I'm not trying to tell you, you know, I know that, you know, normally the way you do things, if you're going to go from one job to another, you know, you start applying for other jobs and trying to get something lined up, so when you're leaving what you're leaving, you're going into something, you know, all that and things and that, and there's nothing against that, you know. But what I'm saying is, if God speaks to you and tells you, leave this, then you've got to do that. That's living by faith. Run that you may obtain, Paul says. Walk forward in your faith. You've got needs, whether it's healing, whether it's financial, if it's guidance in your life, whatever it is, you pray and then you commit those things to God and then you walk forward on faith. Faith is being able to walk forward without knowing. Now, I'm not saying God can't show you things. God sure, certainly he can. But it's just like the prophet said, he doesn't always do it. Brother Branham actually says there's many things he didn't show his prophets. You realize when God revealed to Isaiah and he spoke, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. He was speaking the word of God. He didn't know how that was going to happen. He didn't know who the virgin was going to be. He didn't know when it was going to be. He didn't know how God was going to do that. He didn't have the scientific way that could happen, because scientifically it couldn't happen. And when God spoke to Mary, then eventually comes down, he speaks to the virgin. And he says, you're going to have a son. Look what she said. I've never known a man. He says, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you, and what you conceive is going to be conceived of the Holy Ghost. That still didn't tell Mary how the Holy Ghost was actually going to be able to do that. But she had to walk forward just believing that. And you realize, when the angel spoke to Joseph, he had to take Mary at her word. When she told him, no, Joseph, look, I haven't been untrue to you. I haven't been with a man. And then he was troubled by it. And while he was thinking on those things, the angel of the Lord came and spoke to him in a dream. Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that thing which you conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. They couldn't explain that to people, because there was no human understanding that they could lean on to explain how that could happen. It had never happened before. It was against all science. It was against all humanity. When Joseph felt led to leave Egypt and go to Bethlehem for the child to be born, they didn't have a place to go to. There was no room for them. There was nothing set up. Joseph couldn't book a room ahead, make a reservation. They went not knowing where they were going to stay and where actually they were going to have this baby. They just knew they were supposed to go to Bethlehem. So they went to Bethlehem, and while he was there, and that was him acting on his faith. His faith that was God that spoke to him and told him to go there. So when he gets there, he begins to look around for a place where they can stay. He goes to the places where you would get a room. The inns. There was no rooms to be had. And she was ready to have child. So they go into the stable. Sometimes the ways of the Lord are humble ways. You've got to humble yourself to actually walk in faith. Whatever you are looking to the Lord for or have need of today, God can supply that. All you've got to do is believe that he will. And you can believe he will because he said he would. Then you've got to humble yourself to accept it however he does it. You know, I said earlier about and I'm closing. I said earlier about believing for our loved ones and that, you know. And that, friends, look, you committed to God. You don't know how God's going to do it. You know, as someone who has loved ones that aren't saved, you know, I committed to God. And friends, I don't want to see anything bad happen to them. But I don't know what might have to happen in order to turn them around. But the thing is, no matter how much my flesh wouldn't want to see anything bad happen, the most important thing is the salvation of their soul. If I got to lose them in this life and have them in the next life, so be it. Because anything you have in this life is temporary. And you know, when you're believing for your loved ones, you can't go around letting that worry and cloud your mind. You can't go around constantly thinking at and looking at the things. This is how they're living. This is what they're doing. This is their circumstances. This is their frame of mind. Because then you get yourself all worried and all upset, and you get all tore up, and you can get all depressed and stay mentally upset. That's what Satan wants. You know, of course, Satan said, what if they're not seed? Because he wants to get you upset about that. There's no sense in getting upset about it. You can't change it. Don't worry about it. Just commit it to God. Whatever you've got need of, commit it to God. Let's stand. And friends, the Bible says, Jesus says, you have not because you ask not. And you ask not because you believe not. And Brother Branham, quoting that, says, ask God for big things. You know, people think, I couldn't ask God for that. Look, he said, ask God for big things. You know, the thing is, I ask God for things that I need. I have asked God for things that I wanted, but I'm always willing to accept whatever God's will is concerning any of that. I believe this. God knows if there's something I'm wanting and I'm asking God for it, and God knows that would actually be harmful to me, then I'm okay that God doesn't give it to me. God knows more than I do. He can see the future. I can't. You know, I've seen preachers and pastors asking God to grow their congregation. Look, I ask God to bring in souls. Bring in souls that will believe. I'm not asking God to increase the congregation. I'm not asking God, you know, grow the congregation, increase our size. And I'm not making efforts to try to, well, I'll do this and I'll do that so that the church will grow and more people will come, you know, and people will want to move in here and all this. Look, God bring whoever he wants to bring. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this service this morning, Father, on faith. And the testimonies, Lord, that we can give. Lord, we have, as the scripture says, such a cloud of witnesses. We can look around at one another's lives. There's each one here, Lord, can testify of things, Lord, in their life and what you've done for them and how they had to believe you for it and how you provided for them. And Father, how you have given better jobs over the years and different things that you have done, Lord, in their lives. What you've done for them spiritually, Father. How they've grown here spiritually, Father. Lord, and how we are, Father, the outside is becoming more and more like what's on the inside. How you've changed the inside. Lord, such a work of grace that you've done in everyone's lives here, Father. What a testimony. Father, and we had to walk believing God. Lord, Paul believed you. Lord, he asked in the scriptures, he asked that you'd heal his eyesight. And Lord, you just said, my grace is sufficient. Paul struggled with his eyesight from then on. But Lord, look at all the great blessings. And Paul even said, the Lord allowed this to keep me humble, lest I would get lifted up because of the great revelation that he has given me. Many times, Father, there's things that you allow to come our way just to keep us humble. Lord, to keep us asking you. Lord, bless your people today. Bless the rest of this day for them, Lord, and their fellowship and where they go to eat and whatever they're doing, their activities for the rest of this day, Father. And Lord, the oncoming week, that you would bless them and watch over them, help them, Lord, in their lives this week, dear Father. And we give you praise in Jesus Christ's name.